And away we go, we made it through. It is the day after the big election day 2019, Wednesday, November the 6th, 2019. This is Scott Spears coming at you with probably 15 minutes of sleep, as we were here very late last night doing election coverage, but I have a lot to say about the election coverage that we did last night and the people who were involved, as well as the people who were listening. And the people who participated, candidates, is who I'm talking about. We're going to talk about all that in just a moment, but we got a guest coming on here via telephone in about a minute who's going to stick with us for about 15 minutes to kind of wrap up the election yesterday. Hope you just heard the news report that's playing every hour that is giving you the election results from yesterday. I have them for you. We might go over those a little bit and also hear from you on the toll-free line this morning. Phone lines are going to be open all morning. We haven't really done that the last two mornings, so we're going to get back to that now that the election's over and kind of hear what you have to say, because it certainly was an interesting, intriguing night for a lot of reasons, and to go back and look at some of these results and why they happened and how they happened and so on and so forth will be a fun thing to do, because a lot of trends, a lot of changes were changed last night, and here comes our call. As I had said, so we are going to go to the phone lines here on WWGH Radio on this day after the big day. Now, many of you know there were certain races that we covered very heavily here at WWGH Radio, reason being there were candidates who were more willing than others to come in studio for whatever reason, but one of those who was in here quite a bit, always accepted the invitation when it was put out there, was the Democratic candidate for First Ward City Council, Kai Mead. He was just in here on Monday morning, and we appreciated him joining us for that hour. Now, saying all that to say this, is that, of course, on Monday I asked Kai, win or lose, would he take the phone call on Wednesday morning, and he has honored his word, coming back to us via telephone with probably about 15 minutes sleep today, like I have after last night. And by the way, Kai will tell you more about this, but Kai did win last night as things stand, 272 votes to 268, defeating the Republican challenger, Mike Sadd. Now, this is the seat that is vacated, going to be vacated, by Republican Robert Landon. So it's a pleasure at this point to be welcomed by the winner last night in the First Ward City Council election, Kai Mead. Kai, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Tired.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they don't get much closer than that one.
Well, Kai, here we are. Your race was a very close one, but the understanding that I'm getting is because of the way the voting machines were tallied last night and the way the votes were counted, there's very little chance in the next 30 days before these votes are certified that anything's going to change, even in an election much like the Fifth Ward, like yours, where the vote count is so low. Is that the understanding you have as well?
Well, you know, the thing is, I will say I would rather be me than my opponent, but, you know, it's not over till it's over. There could still be a couple provisional ballots out there. And so I'm hesitant to, you know, start the victory parade yet, but we're just going to have to wait and see until all the votes are in.
Now, at this point, as far as early voting, as far as absentee voting, as far as people who voted in the election last night, those votes are all counted. The only thing that would still be out there would be provisional. And tell people what a provisional ballot is.
So a provisional ballot is like if, say, you go to vote and for some reason, like, you don't have your ID or like you don't have, there's some discrepancy in where you're voting and what you're trying to vote for and where maybe it has you registered at or something like that. And so what the provisional is it's a vote, but you kind of have to go back and prove that you live where you say you live or just something like that.
And it's my understanding, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong here, that provisional ballots are very low. There was a low voter turnout last night. That was kind of weird. I think people will talk about that as the days and weeks go along. When we've had 3 years of high voter turnout, last night had a low voter turnout for some reason. And a lot of provisionals do end up being thrown out because of voting in the wrong ward, being in the wrong place, not having the wrong information. Is that pretty much sum up provisional ballots at this point?
Well, you know, every election's different with the provisionals. I'll say that in the first ward, I believe that there was like 35 of them in 2018, but that was a midterm election. And I think in 2017 there was like around 10. So, you know, you can get a mixed bag of results. We're going to have to see. But, like I said, it's just one of those things where we're going to have to wait and see. My guess is that there's probably 10 to 15 of them, but really you don't know. I won't know until probably later today how many there are, but it might be longer before I know how they voted.
Do we know, because there was another race last night that was very close, that was the 5th Ward race, Tara Dyer and Leslie Cunningham. Leslie Cunningham ended up with 426, and Tara Dyer ended up with 418. And by the way, there was a little bit of controversy about this last night, and not coming from Tara or Leslie. They have conducted themselves extremely well. But it's my understanding, and I don't want to misstate this, but that is the correct result at this point. Leslie Cunningham got 426, Tara Dyer got 418, but somehow Channel 4 flipped the numbers when they reported it and gave Tara 426 and Leslie 418, which I think was just a flipping of the numbers. So I think that's what happened there.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, too. I guess I would trust the board more, just because, you know, when it's, you're getting it from a news station, it's just a whole other channel it has to go through, and the opportunity for miscommunications there. So, in my mind, I think they just got the numbers flipped.
Bring up that race for this particular reason. Your race has 4 votes that separate it. That race has 8 votes that currently separate it. It doesn't seem, now I'm not saying it won't happen, but it doesn't seem as if Tara is challenging that race at this time, even with the provisional ballots, and there's only 4 more votes separating that race than your race. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that, you know, maybe things could change depending on if she finds out that there was a lot of provisionals. You never know. And so that can really play a factor. But, you know, really, that's just a question for Tara, just to get into her head on what she's thinking about it. I know she ran a heck of a race, and it's really just something she can be proud of for sure.
Now, Kai, I believe this is true, that we have had close races. I think the closest one we've had, like yours and Tara's, we would probably have to go back to 2015, I believe it was, with Mike Thomas and Tanner Hale in the third ward, I believe that was at the time. Provisionals did come in, but Mike Thomas still won the election, and he was leading a little bit that night. I don't think provisionals have ever flipped an election, have they, in recent history?
Well, I hope to keep it that way. but yeah, if I remember right, the Hale Thomas difference was actually 4 votes as well. Maybe, and then after provisionals, Thomas actually built his lead a little bit more, up to 10. But yeah, we're hoping nothing changes, but we're also aware that anything's possible.
I know you went and knocked on a lot of doors. Were there people who you encountered who you thought were going to vote provisional, had told you that they had to do that? Is that something you talked about when you were out there?
Well, no, not really, just because I started knocking back in April, and so by the time you get like a voter registration deadline or something else like that, you've already talked to them over and over again. So a lot of times when people vote provisional, going into the voting place, they don't know that they're going to be voting provisional. And it's just something that they deal with once they're inside. So, you know, you can't really plan for it, is what I'll say. But I have to hope, and I can't imagine that there's going to be too many of them at this point. Like I said, I think it's going to be between 10 and 15, but we'll see.
Let's say, because of low voter turnout, which I think is going to tell the tale on this, just to give the audience an idea here, even if there are 10, and even if Saad got the majority of those, he's first got to make up the 4 he's lost the election by, and then he's got to have more than you in the provisionals to match those vote for vote to win this. So when there's a number like 10, let's say 10, you're already 4 ahead, he would have to have, how many, 7 of those provisionals to take the lead?
I believe if he had 7, it would tie us.
Tie. So he's really got to run the board on the provisionals, and there's got to hardly be any for you for him to take the lead.
Yep. It's just, you never know. Crazier things have happened, and you know me, Scott, I'm someone that likes to count the chickens after they hatch.
Well, that being said, here we are the morning after. At this point, as I said, every other election seems to be decided at this particular juncture, except yours. You're not doing the victory dance, but how confident are you at this point?
I'll say I'm decently confident. Like you said, it is a tough hill to climb for my opponent to pull this thing out, but like I said, it's just who I am as a person. I think a lot of other candidates, if they were in my position, would be maybe celebrating already or something like that. I just want to make sure that, you know, everything's solid.
Here's what's interesting about this to a lot of people, your particular race. As I was talking to the group here in the studio last night, you're right, it was 4 votes, I believe, back in 2015 that separated Tanner Hale from Mike Thomas, but Mike Thomas was a 20-year incumbent. Tanner Hale was the youngest candidate, I believe, at that time who had ever run for city council. And Republicans, which Tanner was at the time, tend to do better in Marion. They just do. Although the Democrats did make a comeback last night, there's no denying that, no doubt about that. In this ward that had been Republican for 2 years, obviously a very popular councilman in your ward, Robert Landon, who pretty handedly won the auditor's office last night against Kelly Carr, a longtime incumbent. Why do you think you were able to flip that? It was a high bar, I would say.
Well, I'll say I made sure a couple things. One, I talked to all the voters I could, whether they're Republican, Democrat, or independent. And when I was talking to them, I made sure that I clearly stated the issues that I thought we could come together and work on in the first ward. And I think that when you're talking about those issues, it really translates no matter who you're talking to. And so I think that really helps you do well across the board. And once you realize you're talking to, you know, people of Marion first and then their political affiliations. And I just think that gets you a long way. And then I just made sure I didn't cut any corners. No shortcuts were taken. Like I said, every door was knocked 4 times, and not including just putting literature on the door.
Were you surprised at the voter turnout being low?
Yeah, I'll be honest. It definitely did not help the election day jitters more than anything. Because I remember they put out a list of everyone that's voted, not how they voted, just if you voted at 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. And when I went in at 11 a.m., I was just very surprised at how few people had voted. And at 4 p.m., it was a little bit better, but you just knew after that this was going to be a low turnout election.
Now, it's my understanding, and I don't have the numbers to the exact number here, but we look to the citywide elections for this, the county a little different here, but it looks like now that 5,000 people did not vote for mayor. I believe it's 2,495 for Schertzer, 2,077 for Norris, and 380 for Sue McGowan. So not even 5,000 people voted for mayor. In 2015, the last mayoral election, there was 7,000 people who voted. We're off 2,000 votes this year.
Yeah. Like you said, turnout was low. It's definitely something that we're going to work on and for next time, to just try to get as many people out as possible. But really, it just comes down to trying to get people out there, letting people know about the election, and then after that, it's up to them.
What were you able to do in your ward that Mr. Saad was not able to do to obtain this seat? Knocking on doors, obviously. But what was the message? There's got to be a message that people like.
Well, you know, it's hard to say for sure as far as what I did and what he didn't do. But I will say that I made sure I had a clear message. I made sure that I could articulate it well. And so when I talked about, say, I talked about bringing more police officers into the first ward, I could, you know, as much as you wanted to talk about that, I could go into detail about how we actually put that into action, how we could get that done. Or if we were talking about speeding, I had solutions that I could go into a pretty good amount of detail on for how we actually like go about addressing those issues. And so I think, you know, I just tried to run a race as much as possible about worrying about what we could do for the first ward, and tried to, you know, not think about what my opponent was doing, because at the end of the day, I'm running for city council to try to help the community, not just to beat my opponent.
Kaya, I know you're headed into school this morning, but I do want to talk about it because it was a huge story yesterday and got bigger as the night went on when we got the election results. Robert Landon yesterday charged with two first-degree misdemeanors here in Marion. On election day, which I don't think that's ever happened before, and then goes on to win the auditor's seat against incumbent Kelly Carr. Kelly has said she will not challenge that the results. And the reason we're talking about challenging results is because of a ballot that was put out that is caused for the charges. What did you make of that whole bit yesterday?
You know, it's early to tell. You don't know a whole lot just yet as far as what in detail actually happened. But I will say that, for one, I think that it's just important that when you have an election, right, and everything like that, everyone follows the rules. Everyone tries to get to stick by the books as much as possible. Because at the end of the day, you know, at least we are over here, as long just making sure that we play by the books and do everything like that. And so, you know, for now, I'll just leave it at that and say that, and just, you know, congratulate everyone that won, but we'll just have to see as far as the investigation goes and everything that comes of it and what happens with what happens with his charges and what actually gets, what the actual punishment ends up being.
And this happened in your ward.
Yes, it did. Really, it happened twice. I don't think it happened probably about a month ago, and I kind of stumbled on it and saw it and didn't think about really what it was. But at the time, you know, I just really just wasn't sure what it was, and so there was no hubbub about it or anything like that. But then after they dropped it on another door, a couple weeks later, someone who, you know, had the time, because I'm knocking doors at the time when I found out, someone that had the time to really glance it over, see everything, was like, this is all wrong, you can't do this. And so that's kind of how it blew up. I believe when I was knocking, I found it was like a month ago, and it was on Fairwood or Fairlane, I don't remember which one. And then the second time around they found it was on Robinson.
Well, so where do we go from here, Kai? What is your idea? How do we know a term on how soon we're going to know how many provisionals there were, when they're going to count these? I remember when it happened with Mike Thomas and Tanner Hale, it took quite a while.
Yeah, you know, I wish I could give an exact date, trust me, as far as when these results are in. I'm going to go to the Board of Elections today to see if they can give me an exact number on how many provisionals there are. Because, I mean, well, if there's three, then
no change.
There's not that much excitement.
right. So right now, basically, if there are under five provisional ballots, it cannot be overturned. You could end in a tie if he won all the provisional ballots, but that's it. So if it's five and under, you're sitting pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's just still up in the air. I'm guessing that at the latest, this won't take more than 2 weeks. But, you know, who knows? I'll have to get to the board, talk to them, see how everything's going, and get back. I know for a fact that the Board of Elections people are probably ready for this thing to be done and over because of how hard their job is and on election day and how stressful it is. So, you know, I'm gonna have to bug them, but it probably will hopefully be the last time I bug them for a while.
Well, Kai, I appreciate you coming on, and I hope that you will come on with us when we do know the provisional count and know what the provisionals have to say, and we can stick a fork in the election of 2019. It's certainly been an interesting race, but I would certainly say congratulations are in order right now for how close the race was and that you are in the lead, and not knowing what the provisionals will say, I think we'll stick with that for now unless something else comes down the pike.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Scott.
Thank you, Kai. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Kai Mead, the Democratic candidate, First Ward City Council. Now, this all comes down to the provisionals. I don't know. It's fascinating. Is there anybody out there who has a thought on last night's election? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Some very close elections. Very close. And that is what has made this such an interesting morning. Because I don't know that we thought that that was going to happen, that the elections would be that close. But they were. Let's give the rundown here real quick. Mayor Scott Schertzer was reelected to office with 50% of the vote, defeating the Republican Kevin Norris, 41%. Sue McGowan got 7% of the vote, 380 votes. In the first ward, Kai Mead, the Democrat, got 272 votes. That's 50% of the vote. Michael Sadd, the Republican, 268, 49% of the vote. In Ward 3, Jason Schauber holds on to that seat, the Republican, with 60% of the vote. Kevin Lytle, the Democrat, got 40% of the vote. In the fourth ward, kind of interesting, the incumbent, Debbie Blevins, was defeated by newcomer, I believe first time he'd run for office, Feliciano, got 52% of the vote, defeating Blevins, 47. Debbie Blevins, the Democrat, Feliciano, the Republican. In the fifth ward, we had another nail-biter, incumbent Leslie Cunningham, the Republican, got 426 votes, and the Democrat Tara Dyer got 418 votes, 6 votes separating that particular race. In the sixth ward, Billy Mayberry was defeated. Now, this was an open seat left open by Rick Huddle, the Republican, as he's leaving city council. Kathy Swanger, the independent, got 52% of the vote, defeating the Republican Billy Mayberry, 47% of the vote. Now, I would have to be corrected on this. I don't know that an independent in Marion has ever won a contested race, but Kathy Swanger did do that last night. And then the big story of the night was the auditor's race. Longtime incumbent Kelly Carr was defeated by Robert Landon, First Ward City Councilman, Republican, 53% to 46%, with Robert getting 2603, Kelly getting 2301, and of course two charges being levied against Robert Landon yesterday. Made that a more interesting story. The charges are, just so we get this right here, distributing phony sample ballots and impersonating the Board of Elections. So those are two first-degree misdemeanor charges that Robert Landon will face, but he is the new auditor. They carry a $1,000 fine max and a 6-month in jail max. But what we're understanding is that's pretty high, that's throw the book at you type of thing. So who knows, as time will shake out over the next few weeks. Although Kelly Carr, the former auditor, our current auditor until January, the auditor who did not win the race last night, came on last night and she said she will not contest those results even with the charges. The board of DD levy went down in defeat, 51% against, 48% for. A lot of people very upset about that last night. And the first consolidated fire levy went down in defeat, 53% against, 46-4. And that was the fire levy that Clint Canterbury was on here talking about. It would have put a new fire station on Route 98 and cut down the response time in the county from 15 minutes to 5 minutes for places like Meyer and Menards, which fall in that particular district. But that goes down in defeat. That's the way it goes. And that is the election roundup at this particular point. Does anybody have anything to say? 740-383-9944. I had never seen an election day like that from the perspective of everything that was going on. We did the show yesterday morning here at the station, as we always do, and then I went and had some things to do, and I had no emails, I had no messages. Then I went and voted kind of late in the afternoon yesterday. It was probably after 5 o'clock. And the polls were not very busy. I did notice that because I went to Day Spring and I went to the Coliseum and wanted to see how the polls were going, if a lot of people were showing up, and not a lot of people were there, which I think comes into the low voter turnout yesterday. For whatever reason, that happened. Maybe nothing to get people to the polls. It's hard to tell. It was an off-year election. So I did that, and then I went out and had dinner before I came here to the station. And as I'm sitting at dinner, I thought, well, I'm going to check my emails. And, of course, everything hit the fan then because I had learned of the charges that were filed against Robert Landon. Two or three people had sent me messages, as well as the law director had sent me the official document that charged Landon and also charged John Matthews of the Republican Party. That's the story of it all. With this distributing, I want to get the words right again. I want to make sure I'm looking at this properly. Distributing phony sample ballots. So then it was here to the studio with about an hour before we went on the air last night, and we got those stories out and did what we did. Now, aside from that, what I want to talk about is our election coverage last night, and leave the results to whoever at this particular point. The election coverage we did last night, we went on the air at 7:15 and we did not leave the air until after 11 o'clock last night. So we did 4 hours of nonstop election coverage. And the people who did this election coverage last night did such a fantastic job, in my opinion. If you were listening, and I know a lot of you were, because we got the calls, we got messages on Facebook, we got a lot of heavy-duty response about the coverage that we gave last night. I cannot thank those people enough. What a tremendous job. We had Terry Tackett at the Republican headquarters. We had Linda Sims at the Board of Elections. We had Glenn Coble at Democratic headquarters. Mike Wilson and Sean Kraft were in studio with me, as well as Tara Dyer for a good portion of the night last night. These people could not have acted more professional, more on the ball, just absolutely tremendous. Let's take the phone call here. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. Hey. Marion Township had a couple of things on the ballot. Did you have any information on that? One was clerk, Marion Township clerk, and also the fire department had a levy on.
You know, I do have that. Let me pull that up real quick. What would you make of the city elections last night?
I guess I was a little surprised. I was surprised that so many of them were so close. And I guess I was a little bit surprised that there wasn't more of an effect with a third-party candidate in the mayor. But, hey, you know, you just never know what's going to happen in an election. But I think overall I was surprised at some of the close results.
What do you make of the low voter turnout, lower than 2015?
Well, there again, you know, mayor's races, unless there's some big controversy going on with the sitting mayor, if you've got an incumbent, usually doesn't draw much. If there's no real state or national candidates up for election or re-election, it just doesn't seem to draw people out. I don't know. There's a lot of apathy, as far as I'm concerned, with people and who runs their government. I think somebody made a statement last night. I don't know whether it was on one of the networks or one of you guys talking last night about the fact that people don't realize how much local elections control their lives. And I think maybe the mayor made that statement when he was on late with you last night. You know, a lot of things at the national level you don't have much control over, but here locally at least you've got a voice.
Absolutely. Okay, Fred, which elections were you interested in?
Marion Township Clerk.
Okay, Marion Township Clerk. Let's see here. I have the list here, flipping through these papers. Marion Township Clerk. Who was in that race?
Let's see. I can't think of his name right now. Oh, shoot.
Let's see.
Isn't that awful? I can't think of his
Pleasant,
name.
Tully Township, Scott Township. I think we're getting closer here.
Yeah.
Big Island, Clarendon, Grand Prairie, Bowling Green, Grand Prairie. Okay, let's see here. Prospect. Now we're Montgomery. If this is alphabetical, we're coming close. Green Camp, Salt Rock, Richland, Marion. Marion Township Trustee. Larry Ballinger.
He was unopposed.
He was unopposed. And there was another Marion Township?
Yeah, the clerk's race.
The clerk's race.
Yeah, there was an incumbent and a challenger.
All right, and Marion...
I can't remember either one of their names. This is old age, what happens to you.
No, let me see if I can find it here, because I'm sure it was... let's see here. The Marion Township Clerk... Okay, here are the clerk races. Marion Township Clerk. There's Prospect. Let's see here. Marion City. Okay. Prospect Village Mayor. Waldo Village Clerk. Waldo Village Mayor. Morrill Village Mayor. So it was Morrill Clerk. We got Morrill Council. I don't know why that's not on this paper.
Yeah,
that's...
Marion Township should be on there because it's probably the largest township in the county because it includes people that live in the city.
Yeah, I got Marion. Oh, here we go. Let's see. We got Marion Township Fiscal Officer.
That's it. That's the same thing. Clerk,
there we
fiscal
go.
Fiscal Officer. Yeah.
Okay. We got. Let's see here. Eric Klinsman, who got 2,239 votes, and Sheila Perrin, who got 3,171. So it looks like Sheila Perrin.
Okay, so she was the incumbent.
Okay. She was, yeah, and okay. She won with 58% of the vote.
Okay, how about the Township Fire Levy?
In
Marion Township.
Marion Township Fire Levy. I know that the First Consolidated went down.
Right.
And I don't know what's going to happen with that as time goes on. The response time in that area is not good. I don't know how that's going to be addressed.
Yeah. Let's see. Have an issue for where they're located now.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. We got the Township, or Grand Prairie Township Prospect, Marion Township Fire District. That was a 3 mil levy. That's not it, is it?
Yep.
Oh, that is it? Okay, that passed.
Oh, good.
For the levy, 58% against the levy, 41%.
Good.
There.
Good.
So
yep,
that.
Yep. That's important for people that live in Marion Township, like I do, and fire protection is something that you just can't neglect. And of course, unfortunately, with police and fire protections, people, they're kind of forgotten unless you need them yourself, and then you think, oh my goodness, why don't we have that? So that's good to hear.
Yeah, so it's interesting that passed, and I think as the time goes on, a lot of these numbers will be crunched, but I really am shocked at the low voter turnout, even in this off year, because, boy, we had the last mayoral election, which was an off year back in 2015, 7,000 people turned out. This year, we're looking at about 5.
Yeah, it's disheartening. It really is. But I think, you know, I think a lot of times it just goes with the climate, and people seem to think, oh, well, you know, what's my vote going to do? I'm only one person. And, of course, if too many people think that way, then nobody goes out to vote, and things can really happen. Hey, I wanted to say I really appreciate WWGH and their coverage of the election last night. You were the only one that had anything going, and for people that live in a locality, you like to know what's going on. And with the Board of Elections not even having anything up, and then their site crashing, I really appreciated you guys and the coverage that you provided.
You know, that was one of the, that'll be a moment that I think will live in history of local elections, because we've all become so tech savvy. The party has become so tech savvy. And for people who weren't listening last night, what happened was no results came in until the very end at 10 o'clock. It all came down in one drop. And as they were trying to put it up on the internet, and we were the only media source there, Linda Sims was the only person there, as they were putting it out on the internet, the website crashed for about 10 minutes, so they couldn't access it in the new age way on the internet, so they actually had to get by the old radio here at WWGH and listen for those results. So I found that fascinating
last
night.
Well, it's a good thing that we have the good old-fashioned WWGH on the air giving us those results. I'm kind of like, well, I'm one of those people that like to know, I like to see the 25% and the 50% and so forth along the evening, because I like to make an evening of it. I've done that for all my life, and it was a big adjustment for me last night not to know anything until everything was shot out. So, but again, great coverage. I appreciate what you guys were doing last night.
I thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, have a great day.
Bye-bye. And, you know, you can call in and ask me. I have the results in front of me. It's going to take me a minute to flip through these papers to find them, but I am willing to do that. We are an all-service station here, 740-383-9944, 49 minutes past the hour here, and we did have a heck of a time last night. There's so much I want to talk about with that coverage, too, as time goes on. Go ahead.
Good morning, Scott, and the listeners.
Good morning, Sean. Here we are. We made it.
We made it. That's right. It was a very interesting election last night, and it's definitely going to go down in one of Marion's histories, I think. It's really unique how they did the results last night. So people was not aware of that's what it was going to go down that I know of. Unless people somebody did know, they just didn't pass on the information, of course. But that's what happens in the world. But anyway, you know, congratulations to all the winners. And hopefully we can continue on making trying to make Marion a success.
What do you make of the, and, you know, it's just factual here, what do you make of the return of the Democrats last night in an interesting way? They did win about 50% of the elections, but as we had said so many times, and we'll give credit where credit is due, the Republicans had won every contested race in Marion since 2016, except one, and that was the sheriff election. They had lost every other contested race. Well, last night, that streak was broken. The mayor won, and he won by a large margin. Kai Mead, the Democrat, won in the first ward. Let's see here. You know, it's interesting that happened in that way, and they came close in a lot of other elections.
Yes, you sure did. And you know, we're breaking history a lot here lately. Not just the voting booths, but you know, throughout the whole country. You know, people breaking, you know, records here and there, and which is great. You know, we got to have changes every so often. Can't have the same old stuff. And we just hope that, the people that do work or do get the positions or whatever, they take something out of it and, you know, show us what you can do and go from there, I guess. But, you know, again, it's unique how the Democrats, like you said, since 2016 brought back the office, which is, you know, you never know. We're finding changes, and we'll just have to see how everything goes.
Well, and we do want to say this, why that is such an important thing to bring up is because, yes, the auditor's office did become Republican last night with Robert Landon defeating Kelly Carr. Kathy Swanger is an independent, but we don't know which way she exactly leans. But with her being an independent, the way city council now sits, we Republicans had the majority going in. But now, with the first ward becoming Democrat and the sixth ward becoming independent, it looks like 50-50 on Democrat and Republican and one independent. So at this point, nobody has the majority on city council. The Republicans have lost that. And whichever way Kathy Swanger tends to lean will be the party, I guess, that will have the sway in this.
Now, is that the first time an independent ever actually won an election in Marion County?
Won a contested election, yes. To my knowledge, it's the first time an independent candidate who had an opponent on the ballot from a major party, which she did. A Republican ran in that race, and that was a Republican ward. The councilman who was leaving that seat was Republican, Rick Huddle, and somehow Kathy was able to switch it over to an independent, which is interesting because it showed people will vote for independents, 52%.
Absolutely. And I heard that interview with Kai this morning on the way to work, heading to work here. And so they're waiting on some results for sure. But either way, I mean, it's going to be a close race between him and Zed.
Well, it's close race because Kai's ahead by 4, but it's all going to count on the provisional ballots, which are, you filled out a provisional ballot 3 years ago. It's for people who are not registered properly. And the thinking on this is it has to be a provisional from the first ward. It has to be certified properly. And in a low turnout year, which last night was, I mean, we were way off from the numbers we should have been at, well, where we were 4 years ago, let's put it that way, I would guess there were fewer provisional ballots, and for Saad to win, he would almost have to win every provisional ballot that's put out there, because I have to agree with Kai that I can't imagine there'd be more than 10 or 15 of those.
Right, exactly. You know, and as far as, you know, that we heard that Saad was going to contest it, is that correct?
You know, I didn't hear it from his words. That's what Perry said, but I don't think he can contest the actual results, because it was not within 0.5%, as Ron Schreider called in last night and said, because it didn't end up being 0.5%. It wasn't quite a full percent, but it was more than 0.5%. So there will not be a mandatory recount in that election. So those votes will stay. It will stay 272 to 268. We'll just wait and see what the provisionals say.
And that's what we're waiting on. And that could take up, like I heard you guys talk about, possibly up to 2 weeks or so.
It could take 2 weeks, it could take 30 days, but they should be able to tell us how many provisional ballots were cast. And that could mean something, too, because if there are fewer than 4 provisional ballots, then there's no way to flip that, even if they all were for Saad.
Right. Be very interesting. Like I said, I think this is going to go down as one of the unique elections in Marion County. Just because the way everything went down with the Robert Landon story and John Matthews story in the mix, and then the way it came out on the day, I mean, it came out on the election day, and a lot of the folks probably didn't know that it happened. Because there wasn't a whole lot of media coverage besides Channel 6 that really covered it in us to let people know, hey, this is what happened. But again, you know, congratulations to everybody that, you know, that won, and hopefully we can move on and make Marion great again.
We'll see what happens. Well, I think a lot of people must feel Marion's pretty great because we elected a fourth-term mayor last night.
No, we're great. No, I just want to use those words.
Well, hey, thanks for calling in.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye-bye. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you got any thoughts on the election last night or you want to know the results of something, I will try to get it for you. But the election coverage last night, as I was saying, I cannot thank those people enough. Sean Kraft, Mike Wilson in studio, Glenn Coble at Democratic headquarters, Terry Tackett at Republican headquarters, and Linda Sims down at the Board of Elections. We had people on last night that were unbelievable, and that's the difference from electronic media. Electronic media can give you the results, but they can't give you what we gave you last night, and it was all thanks to these people who put in 4 hours last night doing this, and that is very difficult work. We had Tara Dyer in studio. We had Ann Schertzer on before the election was called, the mayor's wife. We had Robert Landon came on last night, I believe his first interview since winning the auditor's chair, also first interview. Since the charges came about, we had Kelly Carr on last night. That news story broke here. It was really an amazing effort, and ended with the mayor last night live in studio. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I have a question.
Yes.
If Landon is convicted and he has to pay $1,000 fine and he ends up in jail for 6 months, we can trust him as our city auditor?
Well, this is a question. For whatever reason, Kelly Carr said early on in the night that she would not contest that race. She will not contest the results. So there is, at this point, not going to be any contesting on her behalf, I don't believe. I don't think Robert Landon has any criminal history, so I don't believe that. It would be shocking to me if he got jail time. If he takes a plea deal, does that mean he's guilty? I don't know. In a lot of people's eyes, it does mean that. So I don't know how the people feel about that. It's such a bizarre situation because the story came out so late. I don't think people knew about it when they were going to the polls, and certainly all the people who voted early didn't know about it.
Nope.
No. So
I'm just, you know, it's the whole trust. I mean, this is why people don't trust politicians.
Well, as a voter, before we go to break, as a voter, and I'm not going to ask you how you voted in that particular thing, but as a voter, how do you feel about that?
I wouldn't have voted for him.
Now, I guess I am going to ask. Did you end up voting for him?
Had I known, I would not have voted for him.
So I think we can draw from that what that means. That's interesting.
Right. Yeah, he showed up on my doorstep, and we had a nice conversation. And when he was out campaigning, I'm very disappointed. And again, this is just, to me, it's why people why there's low voter turnout, because it's kind of like, what difference does it make? You've got a guy in here now that, how can you trust?
It's fascinating because, to be honest with you, just because of doing the coverage and getting up early here this morning, I have not talked to anybody about this particular issue now that Robert Landon has won. And it is interesting to hear that people who voted for him, had they known, are not happy with this. Because
I'm not happy.
It's interesting. Well, hey, thank you for calling.
Sure.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We've got a break, and we'll talk more about this on the other side. It's an interesting story, and Charlie will be on this morning. We haven't got Charlie's intake on all this, and boy, that's going to be something worthwhile this morning, 10:10 a.m. until 12 noon, and then Glenn Coble will be back with us, 12:15 to 1, and we'll talk more about the great people who made the coverage last night here. Fantastic. Back in 10 minutes. In time, what was the mood there?
Well, he said you stunk worse the second time. Checky, I want to tell you something. You were worse tonight than you were the time before. Now, you're going to... I said, that's my act. That's what I'm doing intentionally. I'm intentionally stinking it up. Oh, I didn't know that.
So
you want to come back and do that again? Yes. And I'll really stink this time, Ed. My God. They'll turn you off.
Oh, my God.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it. Programming on WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address, 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number, 740-225-4495. Webpage, crtmechanicals.com.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from The Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marion Moments. Madge Cooper was Marion's First Lady of Radio, starting on air in 1941. Her last broadcast was in 2007 at the age of 97. She was the first winner of the Fashion Reporters Award New York in the 1960s and was inducted into the Broadcast Hall of Fame in 2007.
From the Marion, Ohio Weather Center, you hear us all the time on the radio, but who are we? We are Marion, Ohio Weather Online. We're a network of trained weather spotters with the National Weather Service throughout Marion County, protecting you from Mother Nature's elements. We can be found online at weather43302.com and over all social media outlets. Marion, Ohio Weather is Marion's number one source for weather.
You don't want to miss a minute of Now with Scott Spears from 12:15 p.m. to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio for guests like these. The first female Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright.
Secretary Albright, you are one of the few people that I can ask this question of. There has been so much talk in this election of Russia and Vladimir Putin. I'm looking at a picture right now of a meeting you had with him. Do you worry about him? What kind of person is he? Is he trying to meddle, in your opinion, with this election?
I have met him. I think that we have to remember that he is a KGB agent. He is playing a weak hand because there are very serious problems in Russia with the economy because of the oil prices. And he, whenever something like that happens, you need a scapegoat and an enemy. And he's decided that America is the enemy. And what he wants to do is to divide us from Europe and divide the Europeans from each other. And he also is very skilled at propaganda. And what I am troubled by, in addition to so many things about Trump, is that he's a gift to Putin, because what Putin wants to do is to, as I said, divide Europe. And when Trump makes statements about NATO being dysfunctional and we wouldn't live up to our obligations under it unless people paid, kind of blackmailing our allies, I think that he is doing things that Putin would like to be doing. He's a gift to Putin.
To WCMH Channel 4 anchor, Colleen Marshall.
You've kind of become the story. You were interviewed on CNN this morning.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Not good, because I don't think, you know, the story should be the candidates and what they have to say. But because, you know, the station and me personally, because we've been attacked by Trump supporters and because, so, and then I also don't want it to be the source of, you know, promotion for the Clinton campaign. It shouldn't be that way. This was just a reporter asking legitimate questions and relevant questions to issues that are in the forefront of political discussions every single day.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:15 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We take your calls at 740-383-9944. Email Scott at scott@wwgh1071.com. www.thetimeandtheplace.com. Listen on any mobile device by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. Most available on the web, WWGH 107.